In the days of biblical Israel, a king had various advisors in his court to advise him on how to run the nation based on the word of God. Samuel guided Saul. Nathan counseled David. The prophet Isaiah brought God's will to Hezekiah. These men of God were independent voices representing the word of God to the king. Imagine the next president of the United States taking office on January 20th. It is the first full working day for the new chief executive. What might he hear if he had such servants of God today enter the Oval Office with an analysis of the world and America, along with the recommendations from the Bible of how God would expect him to govern? Stay with us on Beyond Today as we discuss, what will the next president face?
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
America has a new president. He comes into office at perhaps the most critical time of America's existence. The financial crisis of recent months is the most severe in this generation. America's relative position in the world faces the greatest challenge since the end of World War II. Iran's nuclear program could soon produce a weapon capable of destabilizing the entire Middle East. Many wonder what his administration will do to counter this threat. Other world problems demand his attention and leadership. The security and prosperity of this nation and the maintenance of the current world order is at stake. Many voices are offering advice on the way forward. What advice and counsel would the new president receive if he had on his staff spiritual counselors, much like the men of God who in the Old Testament counseled and spoke to the leaders of Israel the word of God? God has always sent strong warning messages and positive messages to the leaders on how to guide the people and the nation to peace, security, and prosperity. Here is an analysis and counsel from God's word. Here is what men of God who might have insight into history, prophecy, and world affairs might say to the next president of the United States when he comes into office on January 20th. The first issue that might be discussed is the global financial crisis. And you can well imagine a servant of God saying to the next president that his administration is inheriting a global financial crisis that comes once in a lifetime. One former head of the Federal Reserve Bank, Alan Greenspan, said that what has happened in recent months has only come about once every 100 years. The geography of Wall Street has been changed. Institutions of finance such as Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns and Merrill Lynch have either gone out of business or have had to sell themselves. Investors have lost billions, if not trillions, of dollars as the stock market has fallen a great deal and gone up and down in recent months. How much is $1 trillion? I don't know. And most of us really don't know and cannot comprehend those sums of figures. But what's also happened is there's been a loss of confidence in the stocks and in the businesses. And this has led to a collapse and a lockdown of credit markets. And it's spread a fear and a contagion, a virus, if you will, around the world, creating uncertainty. And this has happened as well with a speed and a ferocity unlike anything since that has happened in the post-World War II world. America's lurched from government control of financial markets to almost a socialistic approach to business. Europe has been exposed as unprepared and ill-equipped to handle the crisis. The epicenter of this storm has been in the West and primarily in the United States, caused the rest of the world really to assess its relationship and its dependence upon America. We might well imagine the president being told this by a spiritual advisor that other world leaders, what might even say to the new president that an era is ending, and that the United States can no longer be the one power, the one global force that is dictating or controlling global order. The time when nations and regions can be made in America's image is over. Now, let's not mistake one very important point. America is still vital to the global economy. It has a huge market, a huge consumer culture, and technical innovation. The world economy still needs America. It is, in many ways, too big to let fall. I mean, if you owe the bank a large sum of money, you as an individual, they're not going to let you go bankrupt. If you owe a little bit of money, then you could be passed by the wayside. But America is too big to the world economy. But the time when it has come when it was everything to the world is now changing and it's coming to the close. The rest of the world, we might well imagine, is going to form bonds and relationships to ensure that their continued growth and their prosperity will not be tied to a dependence upon America, nor allow America to even call the shots, recognizing that their financial security is going to be jeopardized. Perhaps, as one person put it, it is not the end of the world, but it is the end of a world. Now, what might we expect a spiritual counselor, a man of God, to say to the next president regarding this as a lesson from the Bible? What would God expect to be done? Well, there are many things, many proverbs that talk about financial management, but there's one very important principle that I think it would be valuable for the next president to learn if he is to pull America out of this problem, and that is this: debt is not good. Debt, as a way of life, will lead to a multitude of sins and social ills that will bring a nation to its knees. And America, unfortunately, has developed debt management to a point that's nearly unbearable, to finance homes and goods and a lifestyle, really, that people cannot afford, has required a dependence upon nations like China and Saudi Arabia to buy and hold bonds and treasury notes and dollars. They have financed, these other nations, a drunken orgy of spending that has resulted in trillions of dollars of debt. And what has happened is the future generations of Americans has been mortgaged because people are living beyond their means. There is written in the law of God, given to ancient Israel, a financial principle really for the ages. It's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, and in verse 6. It says here, "For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you." And he says to Israel, and it's a principle for today, "You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you." It is time, according to this principle and many others found in God's word, perhaps, that the nation begin a return to a financial ethic that's based on godly principles that will ensure stability and prosperity for all. The nation is on the brink of financial slavery, a slavery that will break its power. It's not too late, but time is running out. There's another issue that this servant of God might well say and address with the new president in his Oval Office, and that's the United States' relations with the Islamic world. We could hear him saying, "Mr. President, your predecessor was forced to focus on foreign policy in the Islamic world. The devastating attacks on the homeland on 9/11 stunned the country into a reality that there were people out there, terrorists, whose activities are aimed at America, and they did not like what America had become and what it stood for. As a result, American troops were committed to action in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and Iraq eventually became the center of that attention. The Taliban were driven out of power in Afghanistan. Saddam Hussein was deposed from Iraq. Massive numbers of troops over the years have been committed to that part of the world. And now it appears that troops can begin to be withdrawn, and no doubt will begin to be withdrawn from that region, and probably reassigned elsewhere if the long-term stability of the Iraqi government can be guaranteed. But there will be other forces and other powers waiting to test that. Whether the American-delivered Iraqi style of democracy can survive in the tough neighborhood of the Middle East is yet to be seen. The victory has not been without a cost. American prestige throughout the world has suffered. People have begun to really distrust and despise the United States because of its intervention there. Billions of dollars have been spent in the sands of the Middle East, and whether that cost is justified has not yet been proven. And then, of course, there is the human cost. The lives of men and women who have died in this war, several thousand, and those who have been wounded and had to return home. The impact on the country and on future generations is yet to be determined from this particular incursion into the Middle East. Again, this man of God, the servant, could well say, "Mr. President, you will be faced with deciding how many troops are going to be withdrawn and at what speed and where they will go. You may well think that they need to be moved to Afghanistan to counter an insurgent problem there. The pressure is going to be very strong to help stabilize Pakistan, which is the world's only nuclear-armed Islamic nation. That nation, Pakistan, is walking a tightrope between support for the West and radical Islamist elements within their country who would seize control given the opportunity. Afghanistan and Pakistan is an area that is a bed of quicksand. that has stymied other empires of the past and their efforts to subdue and to rule over the peoples and the tribes of that particular region, that mountainous region of Afghanistan and Pakistan. America is not likely to have any more success than Great Britain or the Soviet Union or even Alexander the Great in the ancient world in that particular area. And then there's one other country, Iran. Will it be the next nuclear power? Again, the servant of God might say to the president, you have been left unfinished business with Iran. This radical Islamic state has been actively pursuing a nuclear weapon, and its present leader and leadership curses the state of Israel and threatens to wipe it off the map. Its clerical leaders have a very strong messianic belief in the end of the world and the return of what they call the Mahdi, a mystical religious leader who will supposedly usher in a reign of Islamic peace. And their acquisition of a nuclear weapon, whether they develop it themselves or whether they buy it from some other source, will destabilize that region. And most leaders understand that they will not hesitate to use it to advance their Islamic vision for the world. One recently completed study said that the first and most pressing national security issue that you will have in your administration will be Iran and its acquisition and desire for a nuclear weapon. Permanent solutions to the problems of the Middle East have eluded every one of your predecessors. Events will draw you as well into this unique mixture of faith, hope, and fantasy. Mr. President, he might well say, before you commit, I suggest you understand what few will admit, that is that the God of all the earth guides the course of nations. He alone determines the rulers of the people and the boundaries of the nations. Carefully consider the following lessons before committing to any long-term policies. The literature that we are offering on this program today, I think, will help you understand better the role of the United States in the current world situation and what lies ahead. We're offering a booklet that many of you are familiar with, but others of you have probably not read, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. This is a booklet that will open your eyes to understand what the Bible says about the United States and Britain, and most importantly, their future. It will also help you to understand why these nations have been the powerful nations that they have been and what lies into the future. We'll also send you a free copy of the Good News Magazine. A subscription to this will begin as well. You can go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to read either the United States and Britain in Prophecy, or to peruse the Good News Magazine, order your free copies, or you can call our toll-free number, which is 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. Now let's go back to the servant of God sitting in the Oval Office with the next president. The next thing that he might say to him as we listen in on this conversation is that there is a need to learn a lesson from history and prophecy. The new president, he would be told, would be wise to read the prophecies of Daniel to understand what God has in store for the Middle East. And he can focus on timeless leadership principles there, chief of which would be a focus on pride, the pride that overcomes leaders when they do not recognize the power that God holds over the course of empires and peoples. It's probably the cardinal sin of world leaders when they see only the raw physical power of the state and they cannot discern the spiritual dimension of world affairs. Let's notice what God revealed to the prophet Daniel and what the prophet said to Babylon's King Nebuchadnezzar when Babylon was at the peak of power in the Middle East. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, which occupied the position today, which is there and occupied by modern Iraq and areas to the east and to the west. Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful individual, and God had placed his servant Daniel right there at the court of Nebuchadnezzar. The king had a dream, we're told, in chapter 2 of Daniel, a symbolic dream about the future of the world. It troubled his spirit. None of his counselors could interpret that dream. It was a dream of a very tall image, we're told, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31, whose splendor was excellent and its form was awesome, we are told. The head of this image was of gold, the chest was of silver, its belly was of bronze, and the lower parts of its body and its feet were of iron and clay. And the prophecy says that image was struck on the feet by a very powerful stone that was cut out without hands and broke it in pieces. And that stone then literally grew to fill the entire earth. There was nothing left of what was there. Really what Daniel was giving to the king was a summation of history and telling the king what lies ahead from his time and that period of Daniel's time in Nebuchadnezzar forward into our day and on into the future. And in that prophecy was a very important story of world history from that time on into the future. But Daniel also gave to the king very important information that focuses on principles of leadership that are so important and so valuable to any leader. If we look at what was said there in Daniel chapter 2, we will find and we will understand something that is important for a president and a leader to come to understand in his rulership and in his reign of the nation today. In Daniel chapter 2, we find that Daniel, when he was given the inspiration or this charge from the king to come in and to outline to him what his dream was all about, he went to his friends. He had three friends in the court there, and he asked them to beseech the God of heaven to give them understanding, and they did. And in chapter 2, in verse 21 of Daniel, we find that there are three principles that are mentioned right here in terms of the leadership qualities that are needed and some of the matters that Nebuchadnezzar needed to learn and are important for a president today. In verse 21, it says that he, meaning God, changes the times and the seasons. God is in control and in charge of history. These three principles, these that we find here in verse 21, are very, very important lessons. God changes the times and the seasons. It says, he removes kings and raises up kings, and he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Now, let's go back and let's look at what he said here regarding changing the times and the seasons. God is in charge of history. This particular booklet we are talking about here, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, helps you to understand from the Bible how God blesses nations, causes them to rise up and fall. And that particular dimension of understanding and knowledge in history is essential. The second principle that Daniel gave here to Nebuchadnezzar is that he removes kings and raises up kings. No world leader occupies his or her office without the consent of God. You know, it's not the genius of a well-run political campaign that has brought the new president to the Oval Office. It's not the hundreds of millions of dollars spent over the many months of campaigning that's led to an electoral victory. This verse here tells us that God allowed it, that it has nothing to do with the platform or the policies or the charisma of an individual. If a president can avoid the great consuming sin that comes with high office, which is pride, then he is well on his way to a good rule. Remember this, and pride can be avoided. And then the last principle he mentions is God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He would say, seek and trust in God. Look to his word as the foundation of knowledge. He will give the wisdom necessary to chart a correct course for the nation during these turbulent times. America has prospered throughout its remarkable history because of God's direct blessing. But whether that blessing will continue depends upon the attitude and the behavior of the country's leaders and its citizens. If a president will call the nation to listen to these words and understand how far the country has fallen from this knowledge, then he could lead a turnaround that could preserve the country's blessings. These are momentous times. Challenges and changes will face the new president. May God guide his decisions. May God guide that president to listen to the words of Daniel to the ancient King Nebuchadnezzar and understand the place that he has in position and responsibility today. Listen to this next word, and we'll be back with a word from our Beyond Today panel.
Discover why God made America the greatest nation in history in your free publication, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Understand how Britain and the United States were destined by God to change the world. Read in the Bible hundreds of prophecies from the time of Abraham and ancient Israel foretelling the United States' power today. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free publication that traces our people for thousands of years to the founding and creation of the United States. You need to understand the relevance of the Bible to America's place in the world today as never before. Get your free copy of The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
And we are back. You saw during the break an advertisement for our flagship publication, the Good News Magazine, which you can receive free of charge, a full one-year subscription to the Good News Magazine by going online at beyondtoday.tv. And don't forget about the booklet we are offering on today's program, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Both will help your understanding of this topic we are talking about today, Bible prophecy, world news, as well as Christian living and other biblical topics. I'm joined with our Beyond Today panel, Steve Myers and Gary Petty, both hosts on Beyond Today. Gentlemen, when we look at what a future president might be advised as he takes office, people will look at this and see that there are dangerous and challenging times indeed that we are living in, but are these days any more difficult than what has happened in the past?
In some ways, yes, definitely. I mean, when we look at technology, the internet, the speed of communications, the means of travel, the world is shrunken. It's much smaller. And because it's much smaller, and this global economy we have, things that happen in one location that would never affect other places in the past now have global effects. People don't buy cars in California, can shut down a plant in Mexico and literally put people out on the street. I was in Australia recently, and people were talking about constantly the fear of what was happening in the United States was, of course, going to affect where they live. So this global economy has created a lot of affluence, mm-hmm. but has actually created a way that the world can become destabilized from just different things happening across the world that aren't even related, but can actually destabilize the entire world.
It's interesting when you start to talk about the issues. I think in a lot of ways, the issues haven't changed. We still don't know how to get along with each other. You get right down to it. People cannot get along with mm-hmm. each other. And so the problems are the same, but like Gary was saying, the effect is global. There's a global effect to things. And I suppose the thing that's different is as you look at what the Bible says about these things, that Bible prophecy is coming to pass. That's what's different. We're moving forward according to what God mm-hmm. predicted. When you look at what the Bible says will happen, those things are coming about. So in that sense, things are different, and we better be well aware what Bible prophecy is saying and what we need to do about it.
There's also, it seems like, with Bible prophecy, which does talk in certain places about an increased intensifying of events. And it almost seems to be the case today, isn't it?
Oh, the speed. The speed of change, the speed in which things can happen, makes everything much more intense, and everything can have an impact much beyond what it's happened in the past.
As well as the severity of the trial.
Right, absolutely. Exactly. It reminds me of what the Bible talks about over and over again when it comes to Bible prophecy. It compares the times we live in to labor pain. That when a woman is going through the birthing process, she has contractions that are going to force mm-hmm. that baby out. And Bible prophecy is similar to that. Events in the world are similar to that there's a big event that happens. And does that mean that we're right at the end? Well, no, there may be a time when there's not a contraction for a while, and then things ease up. But then, sure enough, another contraction comes along. And as you get closer to birth, those contractions get closer and they get harder and more difficult. And so I think we're getting closer and harder contractions all the time, that we're coming to the end of the age.
We talked about the prophet Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar and what a president could learn from the prophet Daniel's discussion. What more could a president learn from Daniel's discussion with the king?
Well, something you said is very, very important, that God is the God of history. You know, God does... You see in the scripture where he has set up rulers and taken down rulers. Other times he lets human beings just go our own way and select their own rulers. But no matter who the ruler is, no matter how they got into power, every ruler in the world has their power by the grace of God. Because God is the sovereign of the entire universe. And so any ruler that has power is only there because God allows him to be there. And so that humility before God The President of the United States, if he is humble before God, God will bless him. Now, in our society, a democracy, that's not a very popular message.
Wouldn't be.
No. But no. The President needs to turn towards God and say, God, you guide me and I will follow your principles, and tell the country that he's going to be guided by the God of the Bible. Now, I can't imagine that happening, but that's what the prophet Daniel would tell him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a good example of the same thing when Israel came out of Egypt, when they got away from Pharaoh and they came into the Promised Land. God told them that when they came into cities, when they came into land, when they came into the prosperity of the Promised Land, that they shouldn't forget who the blessings were from. It was from God. God allowed them to be blessed. And so the same holds true for us today. Who has allowed us to have the wonderful blessings that we have? Well, it's God. And a ruler cannot forget, must always face that rulership, that governing, with humility. And without God allowing these things to happen, to come about, if we forget where our blessings are from, then like Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, the handwriting is on the wall. And there is surely going to be an end when we forget where our blessings come from.
Very quickly, what do you think would happen should a president announce that he has learned a lesson from one of these points that Daniel gave to Nebuchadnezzar and was going to run his administration by that? What would happen?
In the United States?
Yes. The next president.
I think there would be some people that would turn towards God, follow his example, and receive a blessing from God. But unfortunately, I think there's an awful lot of people that say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live life the way I want to. I'm not going to follow God, or I'm going to worship God the way I want to. And you would have a lot of people that would rebel against the president.
If we were like the times of Abraham Lincoln, when Abraham Lincoln called on the country, you know, there was a change. And there is that potential that we can change and we can submit ourselves to God. And boy, what a lesson we could learn if we would do that.
Well, that's all for our panel discussion. We'll come right back after this break and discuss more about what is ahead for the next president. Stay with us.
Understand how the United States and Britain were destined by God to change the world. Read in the Bible hundreds of prophecies from the time of Abraham and ancient Israel to understand the relevance of the Bible to America's place in the world today. Get your free copy of The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Go to beyondtoday.tv.
America today is at a crossroads in history. The balance of world power is shifting. What emerges from this time of transition will be a different world than what we see today. The new American president faces multiple challenges that will test him and the country. God has blessed America with great wealth and power. Those blessings are held in his hand for as long as he wills. Pray for wisdom for the new president. He will need to listen to the warnings from God's word if he is to succeed in navigating the troubled world that awaits. There is hope in our future, but it is hope and trust in God that will be our true strength. Far Beyond Today, I'm Darris McNeely. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.